Welcome to Unyielded, thriving no matter what. In a world of constant change and challenges, it can seem hard to keep up, no matter how hard we run. Yet we all know those people who seem to handle everything with grace and grit. Seemingly, nothing throws them off their game. They are engaged in what matters most to them, they are achieving the success they desire. In other words, they are creating the life they love to live, no matter what challenges and surprises show up. We call them Unyielded. My name is Bobby Kaler, and I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. I mentioned that it's a journey, and you might find yourself anywhere along that path. You may be starting out, you may be mid-career, or considering your next career. You could be an entrepreneur, a salesperson, or you may be that person who just feels like something else is calling to you, and it's time for a change. My mission is to provide stories that inspire us so that when a surprise shows up and threatens to derail us, we will choose to persist. I will also provide practical skills, perspectives, and ideas that will help us create the habits of thriving and flourishing. Because at the end of the day, it is all about providing hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. Let's get right to today's episode. My guest today is a difference maker devoted to personally enriching the lives of at least 100 million people by 2025. He is the author of Z-isms, Insights to Live By, the host of the podcast Insights to Live By, and he's the CEO of a nonprofit, the Internship Institute, which he established back in 2007 to make experience matter. His name is Matt Zinman, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. All right. Well, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bobby, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to this because I know we talked like it seems like forever ago. That's because it was before the holidays. But I thought maybe it'd be nice to kind of start off with sharing with the listeners a little bit about your backstory and kind of where how you got to what you're doing now.
Sure. Well, my name is Matt Zinman. I'm a Libra. And I'm in my 50s now. And it's funny when I get the question, you know, just backstory, it's, you start to think by decade.
That's right.
Right. So suddenly yeah. I'm realizing, oh, I talk by decade now. So
I don't know if that's good, Matt, but I'm in career. The same spot. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I got my start in public relations and marketing and started in 2002, launched my own company called Z Communication as an entrepreneur. I became a single dad at the same time, the kind of that intersection of needing that flexibility, which is why I had stepped out on my own. And then a few years later, I started a nonprofit, which really kind of brought things up to this past year. And that's called the Internship Institute. And it really is about setting up programs and mentoring and whatnot for employers, making sure that these are great experiences for everybody and that they grow. And, you know, on one hand, it was somewhat put on the side burner because I've been working on, you know, my book that came out early. I was going to say this year, right? But now it's last year. It's my first time saying that. And also COVID, right? Not a lot of internships happening with COVID, and was somewhat of a factor of, you know, which way is the current flowing? And with that happening, it really did create a full pivot for me in terms of what I've been doing and are now, you know, real excited to be looking forward to continuing to do.
Yeah. I like what you just said. Which way is the current flowing? Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Because we never know. And I loved it. I loved the institute that the nonprofit about the interns. And I know I've listened to your, I think it was the intro to your podcast where you kind of talked about your experience as an intern. And that seemed to really, you know, be special to you.
Yeah. No substitute for experience, right? That's the mantra all these years. And I had 4 internships in Warner Brothers Studios, promoted the original Batman movie and Lethal Weapon, right? That'll take you way back. Halle Berry at the very, very beginning of her career. Promoting movies for her. But I always enjoy going back to the colleges, speaking to the students early in my career. And it's just when it came time to, you know, post going out on my own, you know, what is a new endeavor I want to do? It really seemed like that's where everything aligned with my experience and my passion and a skill set to develop everything that has been done to create you know, basically a curriculum, a here you go internship in a box type yeah. offering. And ultimately, it really turned out and remains to this day a frontier. The internship industry is very unforgiving. It's a lot of you would thinks. So not what an entrepreneur wants to discover after the fact. And it really, you know, we talked earlier about the current, and it is something I do speak to quite often about knowing which way the current flows. And I really felt a great responsibility for the nonprofit work and the mission. That's not just at that ground level in terms of putting these programs into place, but also some systemic change. That's really one of the reasons why the nonprofit, really big social impact issues, and they're just so big. And I do have still some ideas about circling back to make some of that happen, but it really has been kicking and scratching and swimming against that current all the way. And now I do feel like things are flowing my way. I'm really enjoying life now. And you know, with this new year, I've just never been more excited and hopeful, and know this is, you know, really is best year ever.
Yeah. And that's an exciting place to be.
I can't figure out if that's because all the other years were so hard. But right, you have to experience all the hard stuff to know how great the good stuff is.
That's right.
You wouldn't know the difference, right? There's positive attitude.
I had a guest a couple of weeks ago, and he said that the low points kind of set us up to enjoy those high points.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm going to go with
it's
that.
Good.
It's sound wisdom.
Yeah, I can't argue with him. He sounded like he knew what he was talking about. So then you mentioned the book came out last year now. And I know when we spoke before, we were talking about, you know, people have some challenges. It can be hard. How do you, we sure didn't come in the word undeterred. That it really means a lot to both of us.
Right.
So what are some of those key messages that you think can help people through those types of times?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Z-isms, insights to live by, you know, it continues to evolve, right? From the ebook to the paperback and the audiobook and this whole course that I'm doing, we were talking about pre-show, but it all is founded on a principle called earned confidence. And there's some history to it, which is a backstory. I'll stay off that tangent specific to your question, but earned confidence is really as it sounds. It points to the fact that we have all been through whatever we have been through in our lives. You know, we at any age, everyone's been through the ringer, whatever that is to them. And, you know, we're all still standing, right? Yeah. Thank goodness. And that points to the fact that we, as hard as anything has ever been, you know, we're fully capable of dealing with whatever life brings our way in real time and overcoming that. And so it really is a principle. You know, you can't refute that logic, right? We're here. We've made it through the things that we have. And so it grounds you in the present and reminds you, number one, you don't have anything to worry about. That's mm-hmm. what earned confidence is. Worry is a negative, obviously, not very productive way of expending your energy. And it really is based on things that what worries about, things that are uncertain to happen. So you don't have to deal with uncertainties. You can just deal with the real because you know that that's what you've always done, always overcome. And you have the earned confidence to apply to know that you can and you will handle everything that comes your way.
Yeah. I love that the phrase earned confidence because it goes to the experience that goes into it, you know?
Yeah. You know, honestly, and I will digress momentarily, that backstory actually has to do with my mom.
Yeah.
And she's some 25 years now coming up on, you know, her passing, and she had been sick. This is now back to my mid-20s, and we weren't sure what was going on. And we called a family session. And so we were bracing, you know, my mom and dad, you know, therapist, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
And she had contracted HIV through a blood transfusion. And, you know, that was in the very early, you know, the stigma was so great at the time. They didn't even tell us right away. And over the years, I mean, it's not like anything today. I mean, there were no drug cocktails or anything. And, you know, she really got the worst of it. It was horrible. And through the latter years, you know, a number of times we thought we were going to lose her. And it doesn't get more, you know, harrowing than that. But then she'd pull through. And after several times of this, you're going through that anguish, you realize, well, what am I putting myself through this for? I just have to deal with, you know, what will be, right? That's really what it comes back to. And it was really that experience, as hard as it was, that I can point to being at the foundation of the concept of earned confidence and relying on it ever since, you know, for the very, you know, power that it holds, that you just have to wait until whatever happens, and however bad it is, you know that you don't have a choice to handle it, and you will handle it, and whatever it takes, there's no other way but through, but you'll make it. So thanks for letting me share that.
Yeah, no, I think that, thank you for sharing it, because I think it's a really important piece. I remember when we talked about it before, I think that's when you said, I made a note of, you said the pointlessness of worry.
It is. And it does, there are extenuating aspects to it too, right? Because if you worry, you are basically putting negative energy into things that you do not want to happen. And if there's some truth to, let's say, the law of attraction, which I also speak to that in and around gratitude, for me, that boils down to what we expect tends to happen, you know, in terms of thoughts, feelings, and action, you know, it all comes down to those expectations. Well, if that's true, then setting expectations through worry of things that you do not want to happen can have that causal effect of the law of attraction, right?
Right.
People who worry about money don't have money. That would be one of the examples. So, you know, worrying goes beyond just not being grounded in the present and the, you know, the emotion and negativity there, whatever it is that your belief system may be or your experience is, could have greater consequences.
Yeah. And I was really thinking about that quite a bit, because it's so easy to get caught up in the worrying about this, worrying about that. And it reminded me, I saw an interview with Michael J. Fox. This was years ago. Well, I don't know, 10 years ago. And he said, when you worry about something, what you're also doing is you're setting yourself up to experience it twice, right? Because you worry about it as though it's real. And then if it actually happens, now you have to deal with it again, versus like, don't worry about it. If it happens, deal with it then. And I think it's wise. And that's why I love what you're saying there too. Like, just have the confidence that if it happens, you can deal with it.
That is really wise. It also made me think right off the bat, like, oh, I guess that makes worry the opposite of rehashing. Right. It's like, wait, now I want to rehash that argument that I had so I can experience it again.
Again. Like, why?
But it's true. It's so true. And it really all does come back to mindset, and it takes practice and discipline to break a habit like worry. And the same thing goes for not letting your past, which you have no control over, right, drag you down in the present or prevent you from pushing forward as progress toward the future. But it really is all about that gratitude, that earned confidence. And a lot of it has to do with self-kindness in staying present.
Yeah. I like how you said that, self-kindness. So I want to explore those more, that, you know, the gratitude, the self-kindness. I want to start with gratitude. So what are your thoughts on gratitude, and how can people tap into that more?
Well, part of it has to do with just setting your priority in life. Do you want to, you know, live life by design or, you know, choice or chance type thing? You know, gratitude, like anything, is a practice, and it's a very conscious decision. It's something you have to make room for in your day. But when it comes to the quality of life and life enrichment, it's an easy decision once you are really in the flow of doing it, because that's where the joy of life happens. That's where you're experiencing enrichment. That's, even just still setting aside the law of attraction. I mean, I think everybody recognizes that that's rooted in gratitude. But if you just look at gratitude in and unto itself, and just mindfulness and, you know, being in that moment, right, with whatever it is that's happening, and feeling that positivity and having a positive mindset, however it is that you experience gratitude, it's that experience that you're having. And it really, I mean, for me, in terms of what I'm advocating in and around life enrichment, few things are more enriching than practicing gratitude.
Yeah. And I like how you call it a practice, right? It's not something that we can just, you know, check the box on. So how do you practice it?
Well, it's funny. I have a lot of different ways that I practice it. I have this kind of exercise that I do where it's this 1 minute feeling the force of gravity under my feet. Sounds a little hokey, but I often align it with 11:11. I have a thing for 11. Chapter 11 is 11:11. You know, just synchronicity, and just, you know, it's a trigger, and I try and fold it into my day. And I brush my teeth twice a day, and I have a spin brush, but it takes 2 minutes.
Takes
well,
two
I
minutes.
Just have to stand there and you know, just it's pretty mindless. That's a really good time to fold gratitude into your morning and your evening.
Yeah.
Without it being some kind of chore. So I think folding it into the day is certainly important so that you're consistently being connected with it. And you made an interesting comment, Bobby, about checking it off, because a lot of people will say, oh, a gratitude practice is, well, what are the three things I'm grateful for today?
Yeah.
And then every day, you know, other three things. But there's a huge difference between doing that exercise and writing it down, which is good, which is important, and actually experiencing the actual gratitude that you're writing down. It's not just about putting pen to paper.
Right.
It's about taking whatever it is that you're putting on the paper and running it through your emotional system, right through your process. You have to, you're not writing it, you're experiencing it. And that's what the practice is about, is that experience. So I do, you know, talk to other people about having a gratitude challenge. You know, of all the things that you could say, well, oh, you know, life moves so fast, and what, you know, what do I choose to improve the quality? Certainly gratitude and self-kindness are the ones that, and earned confidence are the ones that rise to the surface for me. If you take 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening while you're brushing your teeth, and you really focus on gratitude, that alone will change your life. I guarantee it. You do that for 30 days and you will consistently, you will feel differently after 30 days. So why not?
Why not give it a try?
Yeah, you're brushing your teeth anyway.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's why the spin brush has a timer on it, because otherwise I'd cut corners.
Yeah. You know, I have one of those too, and it's like, okay, I know what I'm done. I like that.
I know what I'm done, yeah.
But I like what you're saying there, because, I mean, I've done a gratitude journal in the past, and it's great, you know. But so many, it can feel at a point like, oh, I got to do the gratitude journal, you know. And I think that's not what it's about. It's about actually letting yourself feel those emotions, which is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, it shouldn't feel like the chore. It should feel like what gratitude feels like. I mean, that's the point of practicing gratitude, is to have the emotional connection to it. So that's what I would recommend anyone who goes to that gratitude practice and say, well, I was writing down what I was grateful for, but you're not making the emotional connection. Mm-hmm. You're just putting on a piece of paper. Well, that's great, you know, to keep those things in mind, but it doesn't get you across the finish line.
No, you have to really feel it. So I love that. That's a really practical, handy tip. And it reminds me too, like, you know, and we know this from neuroscience, that gratitude is like the most powerful of all positive emotions, because it just, what it does for our brain. So I love that. Very good. What about self-kindness? I usually hear it as self-care, and I love the phrase in self-kindness.
Well, again, that's really back to the foundation, and it is in and around earned confidence. You know, when we, more broadly, before in answering that, just to put it into context, when we talk about personal development and we look at things like self-esteem, self-respect, self-love, self-confidence, right? These are great things that you want to feel about yourself, right? That's the whole point. You strive for these. But when you really look to say, well, how do I do that? It's hard to get your arms around it. So I know I want to feel this way about myself, and it makes sense if I do this, but how do I get from here to there? There's a lot of intangibility about knowing how to set a goal and getting from how you're feeling about yourself now to how you want to feel about yourself. However, if you beyond earned confidence, which I do look at as that key building block in a foundation below those things just mentioned, is self-kindness. And naturally, when people think of kindness, almost for the very reason why kindness is kindness, you think of it being toward others. But this is specific to kindness being toward yourself. And the operative question, which is pretty straightforward, is, well, why be anything less than kind to yourself? And hopefully you can answer that affirmatively. If you can't answer that affirmatively, that's now you know where to start. But the thing about self-kindness is that it is not vague. It's a this or that. In any given moment, you are either being kind to yourself or you're not. There's no in between. Right? So when you put self-kindness at the foundation of personal growth, it's a barometer. And so let's say you're somebody who, you know, you're a people pleaser, and you have a hard time saying no, and someone is imposing their will on you. Maybe you're being a little manipulated because they know that they can bend you to their will to get you to do something.
That's right. No, and there aren't those people out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Nobody like that. Spiders, we call them in colloquial. But the point is that in that moment, you are faced with the yes or no decision. If you're hearing this right now, and you're someone who says, you know, I really need to say no more often. Like, this is you. This is who I'm talking to. The challenge is, if you say yes, you're taking a double hit. You're saying yes, and that hits your self-respect when you know you should have said no. And then you actually have to do the thing that you didn't want to do. And so when you end up following through, now you feel even worse about yourself because you're experiencing the thing you didn't want to do for real. So that's a moment of self-kindness. It's not like every moment of the day you're like, am I being kind to myself now? I'm being kind to myself now. No, it's really, you can have that dialogue, that's great. But it really is for those situations when it's your go-to as a barometer and say, if I say yes to this, I'm going to feel terrible. So the answer is no. And however it is that you need to put that through your process and say, this is something I'd love to do this for you. I have just other priorities right now. And, feel free to ask me the next time you need something and I'll be happy to see if I can help. Boom.
Right.
And that's a nice way to say no.
Yeah. It makes me think about I don't know how many people are really that kind to themselves.
Not enough. How's that?
And that makes me think, okay, well, why? I mean, what's your experience with that? Why aren't more people?
I mean, Bobby, we all have our dysfunctions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you have to fight through those. I'm trying to answer your question as I'm processing it. Early in my 20s, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of self-confidence. I'd had to fight through a lot of these kinds of things. And I remember reading the earlier books by Wayne Dyer on self-love. And, I never told anybody that, but yes, I read one of those books way back when. It's hard. It's a process. Again, it's not something you can snap your fingers and do, but that is why the self-kindness building block around personal growth is so important.
Yeah.
Because now it's a tool. Now it is a this or a that. If you have that as a go-to, that is the kind of thing that will get you from here to there, wherever you are. And even if it's just, again, from a life enrichment standpoint, that you want to be just a little nicer to yourself, or you want to say no a little more often, or whatever that is, any step forward is the right direction. And so that's one of the things that can get you there.
Yeah. What I love about that too, Matt, taking something as simple as saying no, right? Because I think that's something a lot of people struggle with. But to have the awareness of, if I say yes, I'm not being kind to myself.
That's right.
That alone can help people. I think that awareness can help.
Well, it's interesting because I heard one of your other podcast shows, right? I did a little bit of prep. I'm trying to think who it was, a few shows ago. And she was talking about how when someone goes to offer help, and it was like, let me know if I can do anything, right? To the person who needs help. And the person who would need help was, well, what would I get? That's nice of you to say. What would I actually ask you now to do? You're just kind of saying it to say it. And yet what your guest was recommending was, actually now go do something, like go get them dinner, go actually do the thing. So that's the other side of it. Now you're not being asked something, but you're following through. You're going out of your way to be supportive of somebody you care about, or even if it's a volunteer situation, generically, just for humankind, but that's something that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That makes you feel good to do that. So that would be kind to yourself.
To do
more of that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I think about it too, because I'm about to be 55 here in a few weeks. And I had a coach. I still have her, as a matter of fact. I don't see her all the time, but I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And she posed the question to me one day. She's like, would you ever treat one of your friends as badly as you treat yourself? Like, would you ever speak to them the same way you speak to yourself?
Right.
And that was kind of like, ouch. No, I wouldn't. But it was a good point. We do that.
It's hard. It's hard to step out of yourself and look back and be the same person to yourself. And the challenge also is the inner monologue, right? Are you kind to yourself with your inner monologue? And I know we're really in the trenches here, but that's what it's about. Do you fight back? Because you've got these negative, recordings in your head, and you're this and you're that. And it's like, I can't help that my thoughts are saying this to me. I can't help that this is what's going on through my head. But am I being kind to myself by saying, I know that's not right. I might not feel that right now. I have to kind of, fake smile it fake my way through it, knowing I don't quite feel that way, but I know to push back. That is really where, you know, you have to start. And obviously we're the only ones who know, you know, what's going on in our own heads.
And thank goodness.
But even then we don't.
No.
Right? Even then we've got these like right, subconscious. So people, you know, I've contended with depression. That's another thing that has been a big influence on my life ever since in my teens. And it's had a great bearing on how I take care of myself. Because if you've ever been really seriously depressed, I mean, everyone gets a little depressed. If you've really been down there, you never want to feel that again.
No.
So it's a recognition that, you know, what I need to do to prevent that, nip it in the bud when I'm having a few down days in a row. But I know what that feels like. I know that when you're in that depression mode, your brain starts going there and it starts really. And then a half an hour later, you realize I've been beating myself up for a half an hour.
Not, yeah.
Right. And or longer. And that's really when that other part of you, I couldn't tell you it ego or, you know, me, myself and I, but some, you know, the other side, you know,
needs
to fight back and recognize that, you know, even though I know I feel bad right now, I know I'm depressed, or even, you know, even though I have better days, I won't always feel this way. And I know what I'm saying to myself. I don't really truly believe it, even though I'm hearing it from me, you know?
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time with ourselves these days. So
we do.
Right. So it's all the more important.
Yeah. And I think, Matt, what you're saying there too, so we recognize, oh, I've been beating myself up for half an hour. And then what do? We beat ourselves up.
About beating ourselves up.
As opposed to, hey, it's okay, you know, and kind of shifting that internal dialogue. So, I think it's real. It's very real.
The struggle is real. Yeah. And just look, there's nothing easy about it. There's no easy shortcut. These are the things that we've grown up with. This is where we are, where we are, but we're all trying to live a better life and a more enriching life. That's what everybody wants. And these are the kinds of things that you can do little by little that are going to make the big difference in the long run. And, you know, you do these things day in and day out. It kind of feels like, does this really make a difference? It really does. If you stay consistent, if you just do the 2-minute gratitude morning and night, toothbrushing or otherwise, just start there. You'll then get some momentum and motivation because you'll find that works. And then it'll make you want to do more like, okay, now I really want to start practicing self-kindness or mindfulness. And that's the whole point. It's not to overdo it. Give you something that's going to give you like a footing. And the gratitude practices, I think, are a really great place to start.
So, Matt, this has been great. Tell us a little bit about your book and about what you have coming up and how people could reach you too.
Thank you. Well, Zeism's Insights to Live By. Actually, you know, the first question I usually get, Bobby, is, well, what's a Zeism? And it's like, well,
let me tell you.
I have an affinity for the letter. You know, there's a whole story behind that, but it really is about insights to live by, that title, you know, there's pearls of wisdom, mantras, credos, you know, by any other name. You know, it doesn't have to be quips or even quotes, but, you know, if someone said, you know, what are your three things that you want to, what are your three areas of advice, right? Your three advice that you give, you know, your grandkids or anything. Those are your Zisms, your insights to live by. So everybody has those. And I also started a podcast middle of last year, something unexpected. That was actually going with the flow. That was not something I had planned to do. And now, you know, I'm just so excited. I love it. And that's Insights to Live By. And now, you know, keeps evolving. The audiobook is just about ready to come out, you know, early this year. And I'm working on a set of courses. One, the main one being called the Zisms Life Upgrade. And it's a 29-day pursuit to happierness. And it speaks to a lot of everything that we've covered. Certainly all the things that we've covered here today are part of the course, but there's a lot of tools and things that I've developed that developing, but it's going to be ready within a couple of weeks. So by the time this is heard, and it's the first time I'm mentioning it anywhere. Wow. So thank you. And I'm really excited about it. Yeah. There's a mini course of it. And then I'm also doing a community, kind of a Zisms community that people as a membership, and there'll be, you know, exclusive content and things there. So working on all this, right? So it never ends. And again, it comes back to making that pivot. You know, the nonprofit got put on the side burner this past year with COVID, and I had honestly planned to pick up on it after the book was published. It was really, the book was really just a one-off for me. I just wanted to write this thing. It was like a thorn in my side. I wanted to get done and out there and just, you know, not necessarily hold it up as a business card type thing, right? It was really for meant to be, you know, read for the very reason why we're talking about all the things that we are. And now, again, I do feel like the current is going my way. And I'm just, you can hear it. I hear it.
You can hear it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And all these things are now taking shape and are about to be, well, are released as people hear this. So my website, mattzinman.com, easy enough, is in flux as all these things come online. And feel free to please go there and yeah, everything there is to see. You know, sample of the book is on there. Just check it out. You know, read the sample and maybe you'll find you want to keep reading. You know, buy it. That's the point. So I just so appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. This is my jam. This is what I really love doing, leaning in. Thank you so much to your listeners for being interested to stick with us. And I do hope that they come away from this all the better moving forward. Just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Practice gratitude. Stay present and life gets better.
Oh my goodness. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining. I think there's a lot of value that people can take from this. And, you know, I know our mutual hope is just to help others.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the opportunity.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation with Matt. Here are my three insights for thriving from this episode, with, of course, my own little twist added in some places. Number one, Matt's point about self-kindness invites us to notice what we say about ourselves. And you know this, but we are often our own worst critic. And what we say can reinforce our beliefs that we have about ourselves and then the habits and patterns that follow. Noticing our negative self-talk creates the opportunity to choose a reframing. We cannot change the past, but we can change the story we tell about it so that we stop allowing the past to haunt us and derail us. So here are three things that can help us do that. The first approach is from Martin Seligman, and he is the father of positive psychology. And he greatly influenced my choice in graduate schools because I love his work. But what he talked about, or one of the things that he talked about, are the three P's of learned optimism. And I'll get to what those are and how they work here in a second. But the old story is just a story. It is not the truth. We rewrite our stories by narrowing how much it is personal, permanent, and pervasive. Those are the three P's. So what do I mean by that? Let's do an example. Think back to your worst subject in school. I'm going to use math as an example for me because it is the only class where I ever received a B- on a test. I was devastated. Now, the story that I told myself about that B- was very important. One story could sound like this. You are so stupid, and you'll never be any good in school. Notice how that is personal. It is permanent, because I'll never be good, and it is pervasive, meaning now it's not just about math, but all of school. That's devastating. Now, another way to tell that story is this. Wow, you did not study as hard as you could have for that test. Next time, you'll study harder, and you'll probably do better. Now, you see, in that story, I'm still owning it, but it is no longer permanent, and it's not pervasive. It's just one test. A second strategy is that we can detach our present from the past by choosing a different story and by acting into that new story. Self-kindness is leaving the old story behind and acting into the new optimistic future. This does mean that you're going to have to write that new story for yourself. And the third strategy is something that I found in a book I'm currently reading right now. It is Jim Quick's book, Limitless, and I highly, highly recommend that book. One of the things that he talks about is silencing that inner critic. And one of his strategies, and I love this, it's simple, is to name your inner critic with a villainous name. Believe it or not, I did a little research on what would be a villainous name, and my inner critic is now called Jezebeth, which, according to the site that I found, means the demon of falsehoods. And, you know, have some fun with it. I know someone in his inner critic is called Lucifer, right? So have some fun with it, but really cast them in this evil role. All right, so back to the takeaways. The second insight for thriving: earned confidence is simple and profound at the same time. You are here, so you have made it through everything that has happened. And that's amazing. That means you have it within you to tackle anything else that comes your way. Your belief and your courage comes from your life experience. Now, this is not to say that we've always faced everything with perfect strength or perfect courage or perfect skill, but we have made it, and we are here, and we're able to face anything that comes our way with courage and resilience. And finally, number three, gratitude is a key piece of enriching our lives. I know we've all heard this before, but what's really important is to feel it, not to just write it down in a journal as though it's something to check off our to-do list. I've subscribed to a new app on building healthy minds and well-being. And one of the things they talk about is how gratitude can be as simple as paying attention to something, you know, that we appreciate maybe while we're out for a walk. So a little example. Today, when I was out for my walk, it was snowing. It was absolutely gorgeous. But I noticed that the magpies, they're coming back into the neighborhood, and they were out in full voice. And I thought to myself, I love to hear them sing. And I just stopped for a minute, and I savored that moment, and I appreciated the song that I got to hear, instead of, you know, maybe rushing past that moment, but being intentional in the moment and just appreciating what's around us. And of course, that could be a person. It could be, you know, simple as hearing a bird sing or a color that we like, but just paying attention in the moment to what can I appreciate? What can I be grateful for in this moment? And allowing yourself to feel it. This has been the Unyielded Podcast, where we are committed to bringing you stories of growth and flourishing. If you are enjoying this podcast and you'd like to help us spread the word, please share it with a friend and consider leaving us a review. Those are two remarkable ways to help us, and I want to thank everyone who's already done that. The mission of the podcast is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can create the life that we love to live every day.